The homelessness epidemic is inescapable.
Enforcing its ban on homeless people.
Is there nowhere else to go? Is there just nowhere else that they want to go?
Our city deserves to hold people accountable to bad behavior.
Voters fed up with rising homelessness.
Clear them out.
The push to ship out, arrest, and get homeless people out of sight is gaining alarming support across the U.S.
Criminalizing sleeping in public spaces.
And in the coming months, protections against criminalization may be overturned in the Supreme Court.
Do I protect myself from the elements and risk going to jail, or do I not and risk hypothermia and dying?
So is it cruel and unusual punishment? The Supreme Court will tackle that question.
At the center is a small town in Oregon.
Grants Pass.
Invisible People founder Mark Horvath investigates what's really going on in Grants Pass right now.
We get a ticket just for trying to live.
30 citations in a year and a half.
I've been to jail 5 times just this year.
So this park is probably the most controversial.
They hit me with a stick. They wanted to drag them out and beat them.
Families out here sleeping in tents.
Because this ruling will determine whether cities can arrest homeless people across the country.
If that's allowed, many cities will try to run all of the homeless people out of their community.
The stakes can be higher.
We will ban urban camping. Violators of these bans will be arrested. We will then open up large parcels of inexpensive land where the homeless can be relocated.
Rather than addressing the structural inequities causing homelessness, many politicians from both parties and at all levels ignore proven solutions to homelessness, opting instead for a punitive response that will only make homelessness worse and hurt all of us. Criminalization punishes the one group of people who have no power to fix the crisis.
The DPPD had my stuff thrown away, and in one of my totes was my son's urn. My son's forever gone, and I only have a piece of him, an urn necklace that I keep dear to my heart, you know, like, that's things I can't get back. It makes it really hard to want to keep going on. All I can say to people is, don't forget what it is to be human. Be kind. We're all just trying to survive.
If your issue is that Black Lives Matter, if you care about the experience of LGBTQ people, if you care about people living with disabilities, if you care about the elderly, all of these traditionally marginalized communities are going to be impacted. If those are your issues, this is your issue.
We knew we had to go where it all started, and with the boots on the ground, we met up with co-founder of Mint, the mobile integrative navigation team, who does outreach and bridges the gap for the houseless in Josephine County.
Good morning, sunshine. Did you take your medicine?
I thought we had water.
Do you need water? I'll grab you some water, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Homelessness in Grants Pass. We're seeing new people each week out here. A lot of elderly who are being forced out of their home, foreclosures, etc. A lot of them have been out here for a long time. There are people out here being ticketed to move their tent site when the city hasn't given them an alternative solution to be able to be that safe. There are no affordable housing or low barrier shelters, and rent keeps going up and up. And so we're seeing more and more folks having to live in the parks or in parking lots with their cars. That's where the city's kind of designated places for them right now.
But even in these designated areas, they must move to a new park every 3 or 5 days. And even then, once they settle back in, they're often still not left in peace.
The cops give us tickets for any reason they can find. Scattering rubbish, being in the buffer zone, tent being too big, like you name it, I've gotten a ticket for it. I got my notice this morning. I have to move. Having to move every week is ridiculous in itself. That you have to pack up your whole camp, everything, your food, your clothes, your bedding. And it doesn't matter if it's raining, snowing, whatever, we have to move. If we're there when we're supposed to be moved, we get a ticket for being there. It's hell to move from park to park. It seems like every single time you get to your tent or get your camp set up and start getting things livable again, it's time to move again. They have made it impossible to feel human just because we're homeless. Like, we're not supposed to exist. We get a ticket just for trying to live.
Where are you staying at?
Right over here. This is the home for the week. Here at what we call Tent City. I'm hoping that my 30-day kickout is gonna be over so I can go to the park down the street, because it's easier to move a few blocks than it is like clear across town, you know. My bike trailer and wagon have flat tires and I can't afford tubes. So it makes it difficult to move for sure. I have food stamps, but they don't give us enough to last a month, especially when we can't cook food. We have to go buy things we can eat in the microwave at the store. I do what I can. make the best of it.
Amber has received over 30 citations in a year and a half. Each one is $295. She has no way of paying them. I can't imagine any community having a response to homelessness, just pushing people from park to park. It makes no sense. The only solution to tents in a park is housing. Criminalization will just make these encampments grow. More people will end up in the park.
And we wondered, where is this push for criminalization coming from? So we asked an expert from the National Homelessness Law Center.
Our organization has been tracking the criminalization of homelessness for the past 20 years. We found these ordinances have been growing as visible homelessness continues to expand in our communities. So Grants Pass, like much of America, is experiencing a homelessness crisis caused by the lack of affordable housing. Since the early 2000s, Grants Pass has more than doubled in size, but it hasn't doubled its affordable housing stock. The vacancy rate is less than 1%, meaning if you lose your apartment, it's basically impossible to find a new one. As landlords have continued to raise the rents, we see residents who have lived there for a long time becoming homeless. There is no emergency shelter in the community that's accessible to everybody. And so once people lose their housing, they're out on the streets.
The way the law is being written, if police see a pillow or a blanket, doesn't even have to be a tent, that homeless person can be cited for illegal camping.
That's what the Supreme Court's going to be deciding, is it cruel and unusual punishment under our Eighth Amendment to punish people and enforce these laws even when there's no adequate alternative place for them to go?
How long have you been out here?
5 or 6 years. I didn't go to jail or have any criminal charges until I was 35 years old. I've been to jail 5 times just this year. Please.
Is there any shelter beds?
Yeah, there's places that if you are a Christian and if you're not under the influence of anything at all,
right.
They'll test you for a cigarette.
We do have one shelter, Gospel Rescue Mission, but it would be high barrier, and a lot of the people that we serve don't really meet the criteria to be admitted there or deny wanting to go there.
It's like being in jail. You can't talk to anybody, you can't leave. And it's being locked up in there doing nothing but chores and pray to the Lord. And you can't have your animals. There's a lot of people that have dogs, and it's comfort zone for them. Same with my cat.
You would go into a shelter or housing if there was, you know, provided dignity and you could take your cat.
Yeah, I would, yeah.
One newspaper article said there's 27 rules for the gospel record.
For example, I had a family that was new to being out here, 2 young kids, mom and dad. Mom and kids had to go separately. Dad had to go to another place and they couldn't see each other for 30 days. You know, no smoking, no dogs, no drugs whatsoever. They also have to be physically able to work. So if they have a disability that prevents them from being able to work, then they aren't qualified to go to the shelter.
Gospel Rescue Mission has never been an option for me. I was on the phone with a woman and it was practically like, well, come in and fill out the paperwork, we'll give you a key. And then I told her that I used a cane and a walker and it would be great if I could work in the kitchen because that's what I do. And she's like, wait a minute, use a cane and a walker? And I'm like, yeah. That would mean that you wouldn't be able to do the chores we would need you to do. So yeah, right now we haven't got any room for you. And I was like, oh, 5 minutes ago, you had room for me. You were happy to have me there.
And they force religious programming.
Yeah, so I think it's an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening of daily religious church services that they need to attend.
For those of us who aren't in organized religion, that's against my religious beliefs, to be forced to go worship something that isn't necessarily my higher power.
How long have you been out here?
I've been on and off for about the past 15 years. But this time around, I've been out the parks past 3. I used to clean houses, and because of the COVID, I had lost my job. And here I am, like, still trying to find work, still trying to survive, and yeah, barely doing that. So I'm on the HUD list. It's like a 6 to 8 month waiting list, and that's if you can find a place that accepts HUD once you get the voucher. and you have to have some kind of income to pay your part of the rent. It's hard to go looking for a job when you don't feel human because you haven't showered in a week, you know? Like, it's pretty bad. And people in this community treat us like we're garbage. They drive by honking their horns at like wee hours of the morning. They yell at us, get jobs. And it's just, it seems like you get a step forward and get knocked back 10 steps, you know?
So how long have you been homeless?
6 months.
6 months? What happened?
Me and my boyfriend, we lost our property because we didn't pay property tax. So I lost my calicos and my dog and my garden for 13 years. So it's been pretty rough.
What is homelessness like here in Grants Pass?
Well, it sucks. I like to cook and bake, and I can't do that out here. It's wet a lot. It's kind of sad, too, you know, when you're out here and it's raining all the time. And I'm blind in one eye, and I trip over a lot of stuff. As old as I'm getting, it's getting up there in age. You don't move around that easy or get up that easy anymore.
That's your home.
Yep.
At 62 years old,
yep.
That's your home.
Yes, it is. It's not real good for me to be out here. I have a real hard time keeping from getting upper respiratory stuff.
And Kim's story is not uncommon. We met Carrie Lynn to hear about her experience.
I'm a mother of four and I have 18 grandkids. I've been homeless off and on a lot of my life, but the most recent, it's been almost 7 years since my house burnt down. I have COPD, so I have to be on a concentrator. I just got told by the lung doctor in Medford I could get a transplant, but I can't get the ventilator because we can't run it out of the van. We're working on getting housing. The Mint Angels are helping me. They helped me a lot, actually. They got me my phone. They paid for the service. We work with the Alliance for treatments, and they give us a Fremire card for gas. Basically, we just live day to day. I've been out there. I've been in Tin City, but sometimes it's way hotter in here. And we don't have an air conditioner, and sometimes it's way colder. So we don't have a heater, but it could be worse, you know? Jails, institutions, or death sounds worse than being stuck in here.
How did you survive the winter?
You know, lots of blankets. Half of the winter I was on the floor in my tent, curl up on top of a nice warm blanket and under five more. And I've got socks on, and sometimes I've got the hand warmer things, pajama pants, and then like three or four shirts and a sweater, and then a beanie cap when I go to bed.
These people are just trying to survive. But as is becoming more and more common around the country, some of their loudest housed neighbors aren't looking for true solutions to bring these humans inside, but instead will do anything to get them out of their sight.
The president of the city council literally said their objective was to make it so uncomfortable in Grants Pass that people would be forced to move elsewhere.
I mean, I've seen cops break tent poles, just go and jerk on the doors and break the whole doors. I've seen people's whole everything get taken. I had an officer actually ask two different women, and I heard it myself, why do you have salt and pepper shakers? Because we like to season our food. And that officer told both of them, well, I have a house, that's why I have salt and pepper shakers. I just don't understand some of them. Some of them really understand that we're human too.
I'm 55 years old, almost 56. I became homeless 2 years, 9 months ago because my husband had just passed away August 2021. My brother-in-law laughed at me, told me, well, this way I'll get you out of the house. But I didn't really feel comfortable or safe going back to the house that I'd lived in with my husband for 25 years. In the first 6 months that I was out here, from June 30th on, I received probably about a dozen citations. I tried very hard to follow all the laws and all the rules. At one point I had a small grocery bag of cans and bottles that I collected. And I had a 5 gallon bucket outside of my tent with a bag in it that had my garbage in there, you know, food garbage, that kind of thing. And they came up and they cited me for scattering rubbish. And I said, do you keep your household garbage in your bedroom? And he says, no, but I have a house. I was like, wow, that's cruel. Rude. I couldn't think of enough names for it.
So what are the new rules and regulations of the city parks?
You've got to be 50 feet from any playground, 20 feet from any fence line, athletic field, sidewalk, driveway, and residential area. A drainage ditch or a manhole cover. No open flame source whatsoever. Oh my, there's so many.
We can't keep ourselves warm. We can't cook food. There used to be barbecues in the park. They took those out. They have cut all the electricity to any of the gazebos in the park. It's impossible to get a charge on our phones. They've made it nearly impossible for us to even like have contact with our families or job search, anything.
The hostility is potent, city and countywide, but one park has particularly angry housed neighbors, and the people sleeping in this park were violently attacked while we were in town.
Where are we now?
Okay, so Tessine Park, no running water here, one outhouse, no place to wash their hands. So we have to bring water in for the folks. There are neighbors over here that are profoundly unhappy that people camp in the park. So this park is probably the most controversial because the neighbors have a very loud voice of opposition.
And they're the ones complaining and saying, bus them out.
Yep.
They're trying to say that all homeless people are either alcoholics or drug users. All homeless people are not alcoholics or drug addicts. I can say that because I'm not a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic.
How do you survive out here?
Day by day, it's a constant struggle on where we're going to get our next meal, medical attention, shelter. It's a constant struggle. The MEND program has actually stepped up and they're trying to help as much as they can. The city doesn't want to recognize the fact that we've got a serious problem. I've actually seen regular families, women that have got kids out here sleeping in tents.
Josephine County had the opportunity to declare our county a homeless state of emergency and get funding from the state, and our county decided that there wasn't an emergency. I think they're realizing that they were wrong.
Well, if you had the funding, what would you do?
Low barrier shelters, urban campgrounds. I mean, I think that's the first foremost in navigation centers. They need a place to go alternative to the parks where they can get wraparound services. And I do believe I'm pretty in tune with this community, and I think they'll use it. I'm confident they'd use an urban campground or a low barrier shelter. When we opened our emergency shelter, we had max capacity of 49 and it was full every night. You know, so that speaks to the desire to be indoors.
We are in Medford, a neighboring city right next to Grants Pass. Medford has partnered with nonprofits to create solutions to get people out of the parks and on a path out of homelessness.
So we started with apartments. We have some group housing, we have low barrier programs, including a congregate shelter, medical respite program, both in the congregate shelter and also at a hotel. The idea is to meet people where they are and then help them take that first step in the direction that they want to go. Everything's optional. And then bring those barriers down and then offer people support. So it's site management 24/7, case management, and peer support specialty to help people connect the dots in their life according to their plan for success. I've seen what happens when a community embraces change and looks to have kind of progressive tools to give people those steps out of homelessness, because you can't criminalize poverty away and you can't criminalize homelessness away. Recognizing that the lowest point in someone's life doesn't define who they are, and depending on the program level that we're looking at, we've got between a 25 and a 65% success metric for people who are progressing to the next step of independence. We've looked at other communities that are showing, especially when somebody is unsheltered, homeless, they go into drug and alcohol treatment, if they're discharged back to the same environment that they were in before, you see metrics ranging from 0 to 2%, maybe 10 or 15%, depending on the program. And so even our low barrier program showing 25, 35% success rates, that's tremendous.
And you allow dogs.
And we allow dogs.
All animals.
And all these units have heat and AC and lights and a power outlet and all that fun stuff. Grants Pass is in the same place right now, I think, that Medford may have been in 10 or 15 years ago. A decade ago, Medford was very concerned about what would happen if a program like Rogue Retreat opened something like a transitional housing tiny house village.
I'm driving up and it's a pretty residential area.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no way, we're in the wrong place.
Do you know what's across the street from us?
Huh.
Preschool.
Wow.
The darndest thing happens. Once you give people hope and a place to live, people really aren't homeless anymore. And it changes the conversation, it changes the circumstances. People want to take those steps forward in their life, and they want to be good neighbors too. And what we found is that we're integrating really well into this community, and being more in a residential community is more dignified for our guests. And we're seeing people take up case management quicker and take steps from the low barrier program into the transitional housing program a lot faster than we were seeing at the old place. And I think that that has to do with being in a neighborhood that's more conducive to those changes.
Grants Pass is criminalizing homelessness, moving tents every 5 days. How do you get your life better? And here in Medford, they're actually working to help people. The Medford solution saves lives and saves taxpayer money.
I like staying in this area because this is where I raised my kids. My son played Little League on this baseball fields. This is my 25 years or more history is in this neighborhood. I was a stay-at-home mom because basically any job that I had, every bit of money was going to childcare. I have never been arrested. I don't have a criminal record. I am out here due to unbelievably uncontrollable circumstances, and I never expected to be homeless. I never expected to lose my husband. Suddenly, I get my first widow's benefits check here. Oh, it's supposed to be today, but I'm not holding my breath because I've had too many letdowns. First thing I'm doing is booking an airline flight and a motel down in Arizona to go see my kids and my grandkids. It's been the hardest thing of all, and it's been the only thing that I haven't been able to have control over. And I miss my kids so much, and my grandbabies.
Over that way? It's starting to rain again. It's been raining off and on. There's a woman that has to relocate to another park. Volunteers are now going to help her move. Can you imagine having to move from park to park to park to park?
She got trespassed from here. She was supposed to move at a certain time and didn't. And so when they came through today, they were gonna arrest her. When I found her, she was tearful.
They don't have really any idea where they're gonna go.
Yeah.
It's musical parks.
Yes. And then sometimes there's a handful of people that they're trespassed from multiple parks. And so then it gets really challenging. And then they got to remember which park is 30 days, which one's 21, but yeah.
Criminalization does not solve the crisis. I mean, one, penalizing someone because they have had bad times or fallen out of luck, that's not a crime. And the fact of the matter is, especially for Josephine County, where we do not have a lot of funding for our police and sheriff's department. I mean, at one point, we only had 3 sheriff's officers for all of Josephine County, which is about the size of Rhode Island. Those officers, they have other things to do. And by criminalizing the homeless, that's putting a larger burden on them when they could be working on real crimes.
With Samantha all packed up to avoid arrest, we head over to Tussing Park, where we hear about a brutal attack that happened during the night.
Someone started rattling our tent and shaking it and saying, come out here, come out here. They came over to the side and they swung on my boyfriend, and I didn't know it was coming because I said, wait, you know, wait. And I just barely stuck my head up, you know, and he was standing right there. And he just hit me. They hit me with a stick across the face. Yeah. My face and my inside of my mouth was all torn up. And my tooth went through my face. They wanted to hurt someone. They wanted to drag him out and beat him. Like, I thought they were going to kill him.
But, you know, people like us, you know, we don't bother nobody. And they're sitting here attacking us this way. And this is ridiculous. There's no reason for this to happen.
We've been out here about a year and a half. I have a trailer. I was on the streets with it and ran into getting tickets, you know, for oversized parking. And people have a different impression about everybody, you know. You know, we're not all homeless because we want to or on drugs. And, you know, we all come from somewhere and there's a reason we're like this. It's not just because we choose. We don't mean to tear up the parks that are for our kids and, you know, to have picnics in, you know. It's just this is where they designated for people, you know, to go.
We've spent a few days in Grants Pass. We've met some wonderful people who are out here living in tents and others that are working to help them. Sadly, the city doesn't have shelters or housing to get people out of the tents, actually solve homelessness. The city's response is criminalization. People here don't want to camp. They don't have any other choice.
The only reason you want to overturn this law is if you want to be able to continue punishing people and not even bother to have an adequate alternative place where they can be. These laws are essentially banishing people from communities, forcing people out of the public eye in the same way that in the past we've seen communities use similar laws, the most extreme, the Japanese internment camps. And one of the reasons that this case is so important is because right now we have folks like former President Trump actually campaigning on a platform that says, we want to create a national camping ban and relocation camps for homeless American citizens. More than half of Americans are paying unaffordable levels of rent. That means they're just one missed paycheck, one broken down car away from experiencing homelessness. And so this case is what could stand in between us and a world where just because somebody can't pay the rent, they are banished to some far off relocation camp for the quote unquote crime of not being able to pay their rent. The stakes can be higher. That's a really frightening future. And I don't think that's who we are as Americans.
Reach out to your legislators and fight the growing criminalization of homelessness. For more information about the Supreme Court case, visit JohnsonvGrantsPass.com. And wherever you live, criminalization will make homeless encampments grow. We need to get people the support they need, and that is housing.